When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh air, Wick.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Buying a Master Mechanics tool set usually means high prices, higher interest rates, and who knows how many years of monthly payments. But at GearWrench, we don't believe that your tools should take years and years to pay for. So check out Mega Mod Master Sets, the Master Mechanics tool sets that deliver pro-quality tools, organized storage solutions, an easy-to-use lifetime warranty, and much, much more. All for thousands less than you'd expect. So don't wait. Explore the sets and check availability now. Only at GearWrench.com.
We are here in CQ Stadium. Maryland football just beat Virginia 42-14 to move to 3-0 on the season. Andrew, we were here watching the game. A little bit of a slow start for the Terps, but they got the job done. What did you see from them today?
I don't understand the team, Emmett. It's just, this is back-to-back games. Charlotte and FBS team, my apologies. Then you go to Virginia, one of the worst teams in Power 5. I mean, you go down 14-0 both times in the first quarter. Offense, defense, special teams all look rocky. And then all of a sudden, the second quarter comes. It's almost like they remember how to play football again. The defense was unbelievable for the last 45 minutes. Obviously, had 4 takeaways to end the game. Tar Heap still player of the game. 2 picks. But everything goes wrong to start. Everything goes right to finish.
Pretty much. I think that was a pretty succinct explanation of what we saw. And for the second straight week, It was eerily similar to that Charlotte game in a way. They go down 14-0, not quite as early in the fourth quarter, but they go down 14-0 about midway through that first quarter, I should say. And then the game just flips on its head, right? So Virginia comes out and they look like maybe the better team, honestly. I mean, that first drive was pretty clinical. It was only like 3 plays. And then they're marching down the field. They have a little bit of a misdirection, a nice play from their quarterback, who we'll talk about in a second. And then they're up 14-0, and you're starting to think, you know, Virginia is stronger than Charlotte. You're starting to maybe have those thoughts of, you know, if Maryland doesn't show up today, could this be the game where they get beat? You know, Maryland then takes over, proves it's a better team, scores 42 unanswered points, and a lot of that was kind of padded on in the fourth quarter. But like you said, this team has been really confusing to start the season. This is the kind of start to the season that I think we weren't totally expecting. I think we were kind of expecting them to roll their way through this non-conference schedule. And if you looked at the score lines, if you looked at the box scores, that's what it would indicate. But I think if you watch this game tonight, you definitely know that this was in no ways domination for Maryland.
Well, ultimately, they're 3-0, right? A point they've gotten to, you know, the past three seasons. It's also a point in the season where it kind of seems like every year, Maryland, you know, they're 3-0. Can they finally make a move in the Big Ten? And I know last week I mentioned, you know, just the way things are going, how their schedule's lining up, they're coming up with tough wins. This may be a team of destiny or whatever. From what I saw today, if they could go down 14-0 in back-to-back games, once they go on the road, hit conference opponents, I lost confidence in Maryland today. They won 42-14. My confidence in the team went down. I don't know if you feel the same.
I do feel the same. And that was the question I was going to pose to you. I was going to ask, having Maryland's non-conference schedule now in the rearview mirror and having seen this team now, we're through a quarter of the way through the season already, and now it's time for kind of that second season when conference play starts. My question was going to be, do you feel better or worse about this team having seen those three games? I think we're both in agreement that we probably do not feel as good as we thought in the preseason about this team just because of those slow starts. And next week, you're at Michigan State. You know, Michigan State has all sorts of problems going on. You know that they're not as strong of a team as maybe they were a couple of years ago. But even so, you're going on the road against a Big Ten opponent that's going to be the best team they've played so far this year. If you go down 14-0 on the road there in Michigan, tough place to play, that's not going to fly. You're going to end up losing that game.
For a team like Maryland, if you go down a score, two scores, a few minutes into the game, if you're not sharp, especially on the road, you're not winning the game. For a Maryland team where they don't have the skill as some of the top teams in the Big Ten, it's just not going to happen. And if they don't play a full 60 minutes when they're on the road in East Lansing, a top environment, a much better environment than what they have here in Siku Stadium, no offense.
Which wasn't bad tonight.
Wasn't bad.
It was pretty good tonight.
It wasn't bad tonight, but in general, you know what I'm saying. But it's just they're putting in such an incomplete effort, and they've really done that in all three games to an extent. And it's just, against Towson, they had a good start, and they kind of flatlined a little bit. Past two games, start flat. It's just, it's not good enough from what I've seen. And I know Mike Locksley says, oh, it's Terps versus Terps. You know, we're cleaning it up. You're not cleaning it up. You haven't. And this has been your chance. You're playing weak opponents. You have your chance to clean it up. From week one to week two, you didn't clean it up. You got worse. From week two to week three, whatever, right? You played really, really well to end the game. It's not going to matter if you're not 21-0 in Columbus. It doesn't matter how you end the game. So I don't think I think that there's encouraging individual aspects, right? The run game's playing well. The offensive lines increased. Talia had another 300-yard game. But collectively, how the games are going, not encouraging to me.
I think most people probably agree with you. I think most people who are listening are probably saying the same thing. I do appreciate Loxley's candor in these post-game pressers. He has been pretty clear. The last 2 weeks, he has come to the podium after multi-score wins. I mean, today was, you know, kind of got out of hand late in the game. You know, decent-sized margin of victories, and he's gotten up on the podium and said, we did not play well today. We did not do what we need to do today. And I think that's I appreciate that honesty, because I think we're all thinking the same thing, is that this Maryland team has so much potential. And you look at what they have and what they're going to lose. You look at the fact that this is Talia Tungvailoa's last year. You look at, you know, some of the pieces around here that are going to be off to the NFL, or, you know, you never know with the transfer portal. And you just think this is the year you have to capitalize on that. And they're 3-0. They still have everything in front of them. That's the good news. The bad news is not a convincing 3-0 at all.
You're right. They're 3-0, and they can come out at Michigan State and be the team that we expect them to be, right? You mentioned all those factors. But what Loxley's saying, it's talk, right? And it's talk, and he says they'll be better, and they haven't, right? And then Jay Sean Jones, he mentioned this to us post-game. He was like, it's a new season, Big Ten play, right? So maybe we see a new Terps team in a new season.
Yeah, who knows? Let's talk about this game more specifically. Let's get into more of a micro analysis of this game. We talked about Maryland goes down 14-0. Virginia's quarterback, I was very impressed by Anthony Calandria today. Freshman quarterback, you know, made the freshman mistakes in the fourth quarter. We kind of saw him unravel. But early in the game, really impressed me with some of the throws he was making, the fact that he was not afraid to take hits. He was dicing up Maryland's defense. But then the kick return, Braden Wislotsky, the freshman, first time taking kickoff returns in his career, and we know he's fast, and we thought maybe he would have a special teams role, but maybe not that prominent. Octavian Smith muffing those kicks last week, maybe turned out to be a blessing in disguise for the season.
Yeah, but I come to you before the game, and I tell you, Maryland gained momentum because of Braden Wislowski. I mean, it's hard to believe, but you're right. 14-0 Virginia, you know, they were driving. They were almost across the 50 and then ended up having to punt. And you know, and then all of a sudden, Braden Wislowski gets the ball at his own 2-yard line. It's 14-7, right? Maryland has energy. And after that, it was a Maryland building, right? It was a Maryland building from then on. You score 35 points after that. But again, this is a side note. Jake Sean Jones, he's a great talker. He talked to us. He said the same thing. He said once we saw that kick return, it was like, all right, this is our game to take. And I genuinely do think they meant that because everything was going awful. And when you have one positive thing, as we see with Maryland's first two games, it kind of seems to be a domino effect in the right way. So most important play, well, we'll talk about another play. Tarheeb Still, but one of the most important plays of the game.
I think, in my opinion, that may have been the most important play of the game because I was definitely having the thoughts of, like, Maryland could very well lose this game. Yeah. And then that play happens, and, you know, for it to be a freshman, I mean, to see that is so encouraging moving forward to have a dynamic player like that on kick returns. I mean, I think Octavian Smith is as talented as they come, but we've seen the struggles. You know, he hasn't really proved it this season. To have a guy like that, a home run hitter that can return kickoffs, is a huge bonus. But the way that just rejuvenated the team, the way that they were down 14-0, and then Virginia gets their second touchdown and they have all the momentum, and the fact that you can just snatch it right back, I mean, that is invaluable.
Well, you know, the best part is that the first two kicks he took.
He should have forgot them.
He looked terrible.
We were having this conversation before the game, and I remember I saying, and you know, what do I know? I was saying before the game, I was like, I don't understand why players in college and now I guess in the NFL with the fair catch rules don't just catch the ball every time. And he takes it out for the third time and you kind of see him, you know, he's looking around and he just hits that hole. And the second he hit that hole, I was like, he's gone.
Well, yeah,
he's the fastest guy on the field.
I mean, if I'm in his mind, I assume, you know, he's the 18-year-old freshman. He doesn't see the field much. He's like,
gotta make a play.
I'm getting the ball. I'm running. I'm not taking a knee here. So. Get it, you know, he makes the big play. He's going to be the most popular man on campus for the next 2 days. Good for him. Help propel Maryland to a win.
Absolutely. And let's talk about the defense, because from then on, you know, Maryland's offense scored 35 points after that, but pretty much none of that comes without its defense.
Yeah.
Maryland's defense, you know, we saw this last year and we're starting to see a similar trend this year. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is with Brian Williams. I don't know what it is about this group. But for some reason, they seem to always start slow and then they lock in and like lock in to no end. I mean, last year, the second half adjustments they made, even if they weren't adjustments schematically, just whatever they were doing mindset wise, physicality wise, they worked. And last year in the second half as a defense, they were absolutely sensational. This year, we're starting to see a similar trend where maybe they're starting out a little bit slower, kind of kicking into gear. We definitely saw that today with the way they took over that game in the second half.
Specific to today, this is my opinion. I think the major reason why they started off slow, for those who aren't familiar, Virginia has kind of had this quarterback situation. Tony Musket, transfer, was named the starter, got injured against Tennessee. Anthony Calangio comes in, has a great game against James Madison. On Wednesday, Virginia says Tony Musket's the starter, right? So I assume Maryland goes, they go into preparations. Tony Musket, pure pocket passer, does not have much mobility. Anthony Calangio, the complete opposite. Mobile guy, which we've seen Maryland have trouble with before. And the game starts, and Tony Calangio's on the field.
And for the record, Tony Musket, we saw in warmups.
Yeah.
In full pads, looked fine.
And Virginia staff, well, evidently they lied. Or, well, I don't want to accuse them. But
maybe they just didn't know.
Maybe they literally didn't know. But the offensive coordinator came out to the media and said, Tony's playing. He didn't play. So I think Maryland was like, whoa, we prepared for passing attack in the pocket. Now we have a guy that's scrambling, sliding, not afraid to take a hit. But I think once they understood the game plan and I think they kind of knew what Tony Calandrew's offense was, I think that's when they got settled.
Definitely. And that fourth quarter was, I thought it was interesting that Mike Locksley said that he reminded him a lot of Talia.
Yeah.
In the way that fourth quarter, like, you know, for most of the game, he's dicing up Maryland's defense. He's making great throws. He's getting outside the pocket. Showed a lot of Talia there. Then that fourth quarter, we saw the old Talia, which we haven't seen really recently, where it kind of just unraveled, three straight picks, then a fumble. It kind of just all fell apart.
Well, the reason it unraveled is it's 21-14 Maryland. Virginia's driving. Virginia's at the 12-yard line. They have a chance to tie the game late in the third quarter. And such a poor decision by Calandre, who was unbelievable in the first. For a freshman, was unbelievable.
He's going to be a great play. I mean, Virginia can build that program around that.
Tony Muskie will not be the starter next game.
He shouldn't be.
He won't be.
He should not be.
And he throws a contested pass. Tarheeb Steele makes great read, easy pick. Maryland scores three straight touchdowns. Virginia's next three drives, pick, fumble. And I think once he made that one mistake, he was like, I need to make an incredible play to make up for that mistake. He'll learn from it. Virginia's going to be a better team because of Calandria, but it was that play, it was that Tarheeb Steele interception, which completely unraveled the game.
That's exactly what you needed from Maryland. You know, going into last week, they didn't have a single interception, they didn't have a single turnover forced on defense. Mm-hmm. And then today they get four in one quarter.
They won pick last game.
I said going into last game.
My fault.
Then today they have four interceptions. Last week they had the one interception, which was, I mean, we talked about the similarities between last week and this week. What are the odds that Donnell Brown is going to have the same interception batting a pass on the line of scrimmage? I mean, I don't think Donnell Brown was expecting to have any interceptions coming into the season. He's kind of proving himself as a real playmaker on the edge. The fact that they were able to get those four turnovers. I talked about this on the preview podcast that we did, how you want to see this Maryland team, especially on defense, be so opportunistic. The fact that they were able to take advantage of those opportunities, they were able to put the pressure on a freshman quarterback, dare him to make those mistakes, and he did it. Tarheeb still talking in the post-game press conference, you could see how much, what knowledge he had, that veteran knowledge of the opposing playbook. The fact that, I mean, we had no idea what he was saying because, you know, this is all football jargon, but the way that he was saying, like, I knew it was
seven,
like,
seven over cross.
Yeah, he's like, I knew it was seven drive, whatever. And I'm just like, I don't know what that means, but clearly they had watched a lot of film.
Yeah.
A veteran presence like Tarheeb Steele, that's what he brings to the table, is a guy who knows the game. He knows exactly what he's looking for. Yeah. And the way he kind of jumps that route just proved all that.
Well, you mentioned veteran presence. I thought it was pretty impressive that without Bo Braid in the lineup, obviously a leader on defense, they were still able to have an incredible game like that.
Yeah, and Glendon Miller comes in as kind of that third safety on this team.
Some electric
tackles. Yeah, and then, you know, Dante Trader, I felt like Dante Trader was kind of lining up on, like, safety blitzes. It felt like a lot more often than usual, which is a little weird considering Braid was out. But Glendon Miller, yeah, like, I don't remember, it was in that second quarter maybe.
Back-to-back.
Yeah, back-to-back, he's just leveling guys.
Yeah.
And he looked very excited to be out there. Bo Braid, you know, we don't know the full extent of his injury. You know, he wasn't able to play today. That's a piece they need moving forward. That's a piece that they don't have Bo Braid moving forward. They're in trouble. But we got to see our first look at maybe what this offensive line will look like in terms of injuries. I mean, Gottlieb Yadze was back today.
Played majority of the snaps.
Yeah, he was playing a lot at right guard. We expected him maybe to play at right tackle more. Connor Fagan was still in that role. Maybe that's just because they're not totally sure if Gotti's healthy enough to be out in space. But I thought it was a little bit encouraging to see that. And it felt like there were some moments. There's always going to be moments. But it felt like, for the most part, Maryland's offensive line, perhaps not as much in the run game, but especially in the passing game, maybe held up a little bit better than I expected.
And you mentioned that, and it has, but I think it's so clear when he scrambles, you know, to Leah, he has no confidence. He has little confidence.
He's quick to get out of that pocket.
He immediately, he's like, if I have to scramble, I'm going left. I'm going towards DJ Blaze. I do not trust. He does not have as much trust in the new guys than he does, obviously, in a guy like DJ Blaze, where he knows the left side of the line is going to be better protected, give him more opportunities to get out of the pocket.
Yeah, for sure. Friday night game, a little bit of a change of pace from a Saturday night game.
Yeah.
A solid crowd out here today. I know there's been a lot of talk about Maryland's attendance issues, and this was don't make any mistake, this was by no means a packed house tonight, but I was generally pretty impressed with the turnout today. Sure. I think if you just keep building that, you're going to see more of that. And the way that the players talk about feeding off that energy, you know, there is something to that going back to this kick return. Because in my opinion, once again, that was the play of the game, in my opinion. Going back to that kick return, the way that just, like, that boosts the energy in the stadium, you get the crowd into it, you get the students into it, the way you get that energy going, this felt like a momentum win for Maryland. This didn't feel like a game where they overwhelmed Virginia with talent. It just kind of felt like a momentum win for Maryland where, you know, they got all the momentum on their side. Maybe if you're on the road, that won't translate as much. And that's what gives me a lot of pause about next week. And we'll get into that later in the week, kind of previewing that game. But this felt like the kind of game that Maryland would win at home and maybe nowhere else.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a good crowd. I think the most impressive thing, and I think the thing that helped the players the most, is that the students actually stayed in the second half. Like, we joke about it, but it helps them, right? When you see, for sure, when there's 8,000 kids and then the third quarter starts and there's 800 kids, it's demoralizing, I would assume, for the players. So they stayed, they had energy until the game kind of got out of reach. But it was a good crowd. I think it was, besides the most of the lower bowl was filled behind us. but it was a good crowd. Definitely had solid energy. But the way you get the big crowds is you need success, you need to win. And if Maryland beats Michigan State, is 4-0.
Indiana at home, very winnable game. Looking at 5-0 going into Ohio State, obviously that's, you know, a couple weeks away. And
yeah,
the way that we started this podcast probably doesn't inspire a ton of confidence,
yeah,
that they're going to get that job done. But certainly some encouraging signs today, I think, for Maryland. I guess just like, what's one big takeaway you think from this game that maybe, you know, you didn't see in the previous 2 weeks? Because we talked about the defensive struggles early and then them bearing down. We talked about the offensive line a little bit. We talked about some of these things. You know, what kind of stood about this game that you maybe didn't see in the first 2 weeks?
Oh, that's what makes the takeaways. I mean, it's you go from, you know, zero takeaways to one takeaway to back-to-back-to-back plays takeaways. And I think that just completely changed the complexion of the game. We mentioned that the Tar Heaps still interception. And then the latter three put the game away, secure the win. So it was definitely the increase in takeaways for each game seems to be encouraging, and they were timely today.
I totally agree. Maryland wins 42-14. You predicted it as we were walking over to the stadium.
I did.
Said 42-14 Maryland. So kudos on that. We're trying to get these reaction pods out a little bit earlier now. I know we've been a couple days late sometimes, but yeah, we'll be right back at you.
For reference, it's 12:29 Friday, Saturday morning.
Yeah, so don't question our work ethic.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll be back at this later in the week, previewing Maryland at Michigan State. Certainly an interesting matchup, the beginning of Big Ten play. Maryland is 3-0. They beat Virginia, finished the non-conference slate undefeated for the third straight year now. So exciting stuff as always. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you later in the week.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. Kings Island is now open weekends.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug, but I ended up connecting to the world around me, a world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.